Log Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Our guest this evening is Sheldon Neidel. Sheldon is a very well-known contactee. He has many books, and one of these books, a good one, is called Your Galactic Neighbors. And I have to admit, my switchboard is filled up. And I am going to have to figure out exactly who Sheldon is. Sheldon, if you're listening, please press 1, and that'll indicate to me you're the one that wants to speak to the host. I do have a rough idea what Sheldon's number is. Ah, there he goes, or an imposter. Is this the real Sheldon Neidel?
This is him, Mark.
Welcome to the show, sir. It's good to hear your voice. How are you?
Okay. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing real good. And is life treating you well? Is the weather good? Are you still in California?
I am still in California, and I am still in Northern California, just a little bit outside of the capital, Sacramento, in a little town called Folsom.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm going to dive right in the show because I know there's a ton of people that want to hear from you this evening. The Sirius system is a binary star system made up of Sirius A and B. My question, Sheldon, is have you ever been to this star system?
Yes, when I was a lot younger.
Can
I'm
you
an
tell
old
us
guy
about
now.
The trip? Tell us about the trip and everything.
Well, when you go to Sirius, one of the things you discover is that the whole concept about it taking forever to go from one place in this galaxy to another is wrong. It only took about 3 to 4 minutes for us to get into the system and another few minutes to land. So it wasn't very long at all. Probably faster than most commercial aircraft flights.
Wow. Did you get to go to any planet when you were there, or what happened?
Well, I went to the planet that I originally was from, and so we were there just to look it over. Because what they promised me was that I would go there, I got to see one little ceremony, and then we zipped back to this wonderful part of the universe.
No kidding. Wow, you didn't get to stay very long then, huh?
No, but it was enough for me to have some memories of it and to see what it was like. And it is a lot different place, and of course most people in that system, at least where I went to, the Sirians, live underground, because all planets are hollow, so you live inside. It says we are going to be with Agartha, which is inner Earth in Lemurian, and that's where we'll be going to. So I look forward to that. But right now, the main thing is to just move forward with what's happening spiritually on this planet right now. And so I feel very happy because I feel very deeply right now that things are happening very quickly, and we're going to be in a new reality before we know it. Of course, speaking spiritual. Go ahead, Mark.
I'm sorry. Isn't there a city, I think it's named Shigatse or something like that, near Nepal? Is close to, isn't that like one of the openings to Agartha, or am I wrong?
There are several portal places on the planet, yeah.
Okay.
I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. You probably can't say too much about that, I would imagine.
No, I can't. So I'm just trying to answer the question as relevantly as I can.
Okay. And you were, I interrupted you, so continue your line of thought if you can remember.
No, I kind of moved on mentally.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, tell us again about Washta.
Okay, Washta was the man who was my guide. He later became a full-fledged Sirian Ascended Master. He was the most remarkable human being I have ever known. And I could start doing Wash the Stories, but that isn't what this is about tonight.
Okay. In your book, you talk about 24 star nations. Can you tell us any more about some of those nations?
Well, what we wanted to do when we did the book was, okay, people know about the major human ones, you know, like Sirius, Pleiades, etc., Andromeda, and go on and on. But what we wanted to do was have us look at groups that were both just beginning to enter the Galactic Federation, that were from Anchara, and also, in other words, they were mainly people from Orion and other places. And we also wanted to look at galactic humans that were a little different from us. So we wound up with 24, and while the majority of them were human, the majority overall, you know, the galaxy is set up so it's human 60-40, but there are a lot of, how can we call it, non-human sentient beings that are fully conscious, that are remarkable people. And, of course, I can tell all the stories about them when I first met them when I was on the Sirian mothership, because you have a giant memory system that has been reinforced by all the alien monster movies and the rise in the last 20 years of dinosaur movies. So the result is that the traditional fear that we have of these creatures, whether they're good or bad, in this case they were all good, you still, when you look at them, you get a general feeling that somehow something isn't right, that they're being nice to you. But you realize it is right, and that it's just all the stuff that you have accumulated in the course of your lifetime that thinks that when you see a creature that looks like a small dinosaur, that it can't be good, because it has to be similar to a species, to like a raptor or something like that. And, of course, from all, like I said, the dinosaur movies, you have a very different concept within you of what these creatures are about and whether they're going to be nice or not. And, of course, they are nice. But, of course, in my case, when I was a little kid, when I was 9, 10, and I saw them, and the first thing that would catch my mind was the shiny big white teeth. And that, of course, immediately brought forth all this accumulated memories that are not true. So initially I was scared, and of course everybody knew it, because galactic humans can pick up fear in 5 seconds. So they immediately calmed me down. Washington immediately told me that these are people just like us, they just look different. And of course I had experiences when I was writing the book where various creatures that were similar to the dinosaurs that we see in the dinosaur movies would talk to us, and you would see them. And of course it got a little overwhelming, because when they came at you, it was with full force energy. It was like trying to stop a bowling ball in mid lane. So it was a little overwhelming. I got a wonderful lady who was a healer to help me out, because when I would finish sessions with them, I was pretty dang wiped out because of this energy. It was hitting you. It was like having to totally deal with one avalanche after another. So you were kind of wiped out. And they would heal, and it was wonderful. And the name of this wonderful lady, she was an Octurian, was Supa. And I really, really developed a magnificent relationship with her. And she calmed me down. She taught me ways that I could get back to feeling normal and not be so scared. She got the hyper part with the adrenaline gone and all that other stuff that is associated with being scared, and I got over it. And I learned how to relate to them, and it was a communications problem. You put out certain energies, they put out certain energies, and theirs are so much stronger than yours, and it drains you, and that is what happened. And so I learned how to recover my energy systems and not be so drained, because you would immediately want to go to a couch and go to sleep and not wake up for a long time. You were just wiped out.
Tell us about the aquatic apes of Lyra and Vega.
Okay. Those people who have studied the evolution of humans on this planet, and it's based upon the fact that humans are from this planet, which they aren't. You could get a geneticist, and they would explain how the chromosome patterns are not exactly the same, and that there's all kinds of odd chromosome patterns that deal with people who have not had too much relationships with anybody else but themselves, you know, in the Pacific, etc. And they have all kinds of X, S, and T blood types they're the only ones have them because they are in the patterns that are, because they haven't had relationships with one another, are a lot different. So one of the things we need to know about is, let's look at these apes. I could give you the whole, we could start with the whole story of how humanity was required to be shifted and changed, but I won't do that because I've done that before,
mm-hmm.
and it'll take a long period of time, and I think you want to do more than just spend the next half hour talking about how aquatic apes were evolved because of the dolphins, et cetera, and what went on in the area now known as the Crimea and the Caucasus, et cetera. We don't want to get into all of that right now. There are all kinds of archaeologists that have been studying the Black Sea and the area around the Crimea and further inland around the Caucasus, and have been discovering there are all kinds of strange things, pyramids, et cetera, which indicate that there was an ancient civilization that at one time existed there. There's also stories around the Earth right now about the use of people in who died, were ill-starred because of radiation, et cetera. And these radiation is reflected in their skeletal remains because it's from a long time ago, tens of thousands of years ago. So when you begin to see all of that, you understand what I did at the beginning of my first book, which is Galactic Human, and then in the revision of it, which is Your First Contact. I have mentioned briefly the whole concept about who we were, how the dolphins became the dolphins, how the land cetaceans with the people who were the spiritual hierarchy of this galaxy were able to get together and create out of the galactic, how shall we say it, out of the main, from Vega, out of the main system that was a water planet, how they these aquatic apes became galactic humans. And if you want to take time, I'll explain that to you a little more if you wish.
It's up to you, Sheldon. Whatever you feel is appropriate. You probably have some specific things that you want to cover tonight. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I probably want to get into more different things, but let's get into the prehistory of humanity, if you will, because we have to remember that roughly about 900,000 years ago, our ancestors, our true ancestors, fully conscious galactic humans, came to this planet and settled in a surface world and in an inner Earth world. This is called the Garthan. The above world was, of course, called Lemuria. And so a history happened with Atlantis, etc. I sometimes wonder, should I really spend all the time on this or not? I think we've covered this before, right?
We've talked about a lot of different stuff, and I have a whole ton of questions, but it sounds to me, I'm just getting the impression that you have something urgent that you wanted to pass on, so feel free
no.
to do that.
Well, just go through the questions then, and then we'll talk about
okay.
it, because I have a webinar coming. I want to talk about that a little bit, but we'll get to
okay.
that later.
So, All right.
So where do we want to start with this?
Okay, well, what about, are you done with the aquatic apes from Lyra and Vega?
Well, just know that they wound up becoming fully conscious beings. They became enlightened. There was a galactic war going on at that time. We can talk about the Acharan continuum and all what that meant, the dark energy in this galaxy and what happened, and about the peace that happened in the middle part of the 1990s. But I think I've also covered that, haven't I? I'd like to do something different today. Isn't that crazy?
Okay. No, that's okay. You know, we've talked about the galactic wars before too, which they're just so fascinating. But you're probably tired of that too.
Well, if you want to talk about that, they went on for millions of years, but they're gone now. There's peace in the galaxy right now. Yay.
Well, tell us about your first meeting with the Andromeda Confederacy then, when you were 5 years old, right?
Well, the Andromedans are a very special group because they're the most diverse group of galactic humans in probably the entire galaxy. About half of all the type of people on our planet right now originated with the Andromedans. Now, the Andromedans are also a very scientific group, and so as a result, most of the ship designs and advances in engineering in the Galactic Federation originate with the Andromedans. They are also very history-oriented, and they pass that on when they help to create the Pleiadian peoples and the Pleiades. So they are incredible beings. And, of course, when Washed introduced me to the Andromedans, the Pleiadians, etc., now when I saw the Andromedans, I began to see the racial diversity. It's amazing. Basically, every type of human has a counter group in some star system that's part of the Andromeda Confederacy. You know, there's Asiatic types, those that look like Asiatic in terms of the American Indians, the Eskimos, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the blue peoples, which eventually became the Africans. And so you begin to see very, very, very quickly how the Andromedans, not only are they an incredibly intelligent and creative group of beings, but they also represent the human diversity that is all over us right now as part of the human culture. And so it's amazing when you see them for the first time, just exactly all that energy, all that creativity, all that beauty. And so when you meet them for the first time, you just want to dive into the whole thing about their history. And they have an amazing history because they are one of the early groups of galactic humans that settled in this galaxy. And so when you begin to understand them and you begin to see who they are, you see how their culture became a model, just as the Syrian culture became a model for galactic society. And so you wind up with two different types of society models, the 12-clan system, which is the Andromedan system, and also the Pleiadian one, and the 6-clan system, which is the Syrian one. And so you begin to see how they came together in the Federation and how they combined themselves to produce not only these different models, but how that creativity came together to make it possible for everybody, no exception, to be successful in using their own creativity, their own abilities to create this Federation, this human aspect of the Galactic Federation. And so I began to see, as I was talking to Washed about the history of all of this, just how important the Andromedans were and just how important the Syrians were, because Syrians are considered the major spiritual human force in this particular galaxy. So you begin to see both the scientific aspect combining together with the spiritual aspect to produce what I like to call spiritual science, which goes beyond because we're limited conscious beings, which goes beyond the physical aspect and begins to see the various ways in which the spiritual aspect that is the basis of who we are can have many different diverse aspects, and somehow can we work together to produce magnificent civilizations, galaxies, societies, star nations, etc. And that's what Washington began showing me, and I began understanding that there was this immense diversity within the Federation, but also that I had a tremendous responsibility to pass all this knowledge off. And what they began showing me was, how do I start this? One of the things that I began when I had my first lecture, and this is way, way back 25 years ago, it seems like forever. I say, go back, it was a quarter century ago when I started. So when I began explaining to them about Galactic Human Society, this was the first group I ever lectured in front of, they became so enthralled by it that they immediately couldn't get enough of it. So when I had to leave, because I was there with my sister, they immediately followed me onto the parking lot. Practically until my sister sped up at the end of the parking lot, they just kept walking, the whole crowd right behind us, asking questions. And this is when I began to see that there is a place, there is a curiosity within humanity to discover who really are we? Where do we come from? What are we doing? How is the increase in consciousness that we're going through right now? How are all the different symptoms of our bodies changing? How does all of this relate to what is happening to us, not just as a people, but what's going on in this planet? And that's the kind of stuff that I began lecturing about when I first started. It's like 25 years ago. I didn't have any books, didn't have a website, didn't have anything. But what I had was some knowledge and a chance to talk. And it was extremely weird for me because when I was 5 or 10, when I would get into this society, human society on this planet, I got super nervous and I would begin to stutter, which used to make it very hard to give a lecture. And I got over that. And I saw that what Washita had said to me, that I would be good at this process of educating people, was something that I would be doing the rest of my life, which has proven to be correct, was something that I needed to know about and understand. And one of the first things that I learned was that this civilization, the galactic human civilization, was not like it's portrayed in the movies and the magazines. They're not out here to invade or anything. They're out here to watch us, to observe us, to see our change, to guard us where necessary, to help us move beyond this warlike craziness that we have spent thousands and tens of thousands of years doing, and that we need to start seeing ourselves in a new light. And that, of course, is what the basic message that I've been talking about is at the core is all about, is the fact that we are evolving rapidly into a new being. This new being is much more conscious, reaffirms the spiritual aspects, and understands the very nature of what that spiritual aspect means to us and what it means to our civilization and how we can change it and how we can create situations within it that will give us the opportunity to use new resources and new technologies and even give us the ability to take technologies that have been illegally taken from us and put them back into the public view so that we can see what an amazing group of people we truly are and that we can actually heal ourselves. We can change how this society is run and we can actually create new forms of government that allow us to live in freedom and prosperity. And that's basically where I'm at right now, is understanding to people about how this is changing, why, what are the symptoms that we're having, and how can we be able to move forward and give us the knowledge to understand what does all that mean, how does each step of this relate to the next step, and how it is evolving in rapid steps, and that's why people are talking about nowadays about time speeding up. They understand that the nature of how we operate is no longer at the same vibrational patterns, that they're much greater, and that we as human beings are moving forward in creating a reality that is much more compatible to what we truly are, because deep down, we're not warlike creatures. We are beings of peace, beings of spirituality. When we get into our spiritual aspects, we begin to feel the inner peace of that of those aspects, and we begin to see that that's really where we need to be heading, and we see around us the world changing. It's much harder to get a massive world war type situation created. There may be incidents, but overall, it will change, and it'll be muted, and that's what's happening to us right now. We've seen all kinds of crazy things that in the past would have caused amazing problems, but we are changing. And that's one of the basic points that we need to emphasize to each other, that we are no longer who we thought we were. We are becoming a more spiritual, a much more conscious person, and a civilization filled with such conscious persons. And we need to understand that. And we also, one more important thing we need to understand, that we are not alone, not only spiritually, but that we have ancestors where we originally came from who have come here to help us understand and to help us transition to the next step of our conscious evolution.
If our consciousness is evolving and increasing, then why are we still seeing so much conflict?
That conflict is at the tail end. There have been all kinds of things that have happened. They are just part of we are evolving in an uneven manner. We have to realize there are certain parts of this globe that do not have access to the education or certain other levels that we have here in the West, and that these things are affecting. We have a thing called the Internet. The Internet is allowing people in Africa and Asia who normally would not get any direct access to the education needed to cause revolution to change. It's evolving. We have within us a movement, but as I said, it's an uneven movement. But the degree in which it wants to change, the degree in which it wishes to evolve forward, is about to change rapidly. We have resources, and we have people with those resources who are very close over the next few months or year to bring those resources to us. And it changes us from being people limited by our financial resources to people unlimited by them, to those who wish to educate themselves. There are so many people on this planet who want to be educated in the new realities. And the new realities I'm talking about is the intergalactic realities, and get more aware of our planet. We have abused our planet. We have even gotten it to the point where many experts in life, biologists, just 5 years ago, they were talking about we were at the edge of diversity. The thing that sustains life on a global basis is its diversity. We have an amazing diversity. What do we mean by diversity? It means more that we go from microbes all the way up to elephants. It means that we have the ability to interact with one another and create animal societies and human societies of many different types, and that these societies are understanding who we are. Way back in the 60s was the beginning of what we now call the ecology movement. That movement has now become global. A couple years ago there was a Paris Agreement about diversity and ecology. We are building a technology that's moving us away from coal and oil toward electrical concepts, solar and wind power. But more important with solar is the advanced levels of technical batteries. We have an amazing graphite substitute called graphene, which can do all kinds of incredible things. We now know that we can increase the amount of clean water on our planet. We can change how our transportation systems are put together. We can decrease, by a vast notice, the amount of pollution on this planet. We can begin to fight the changes in climate. We can prevent a lot of things from happening, and we are getting how we can save species that seem at the present time to be heading toward extinction. We can change that. We can bring species back. That's why when they said 5 years ago that we were at the edge of ending diversity, that we could actually move beyond that. Excuse me a minute, I got to drink something. The result of all of that is that as diversity seemed to be falling apart, you've got to remember at the end of the Permian, which is about 250 million years ago, we had a massive extinction, the most massive extinction in the history of this planet. We have spent the last five decades replicating the end of the Permian extinction. We were destroying life on this planet at an amazing rate. Scientists could now say, just a few years ago, that the extinction levels that were killing diversity had been altered, and that we were again moving toward creating diversity on this planet, which meant we were sustaining life on this world. Now, as we do this, one thing is happening to us. The reason why we are so spiritually involved in this is because we are growing in consciousness. Consciousness is simply a spiritual awareness of your reality. We have become, once again, an extremely spiritually oriented species. It's more than just a religious type of concept. It's even deeper. It has to do with the nature of how humanity looks at itself. It is finally looking at itself to the point where it understands that A, it's not alone. B, we have technology available to us that can reverse all the primitive technologies of the industrial age, and we can make this planet a paradise. We understand that. We also understand that we have brothers and sisters, or like I like to call our ancestors, who are now returning to us. They are here for one reason, because they realize that we are once again at a level where not only the ecology awareness of our global society is such, but we also understand another point that is extremely important. They understand that we are about to enter a new energy age on this planet. It's post-electrical. They understand that because they have been living in a post-electrical age throughout the galaxy for millions of years. But we do not have any sense of it. For the first time, we're having a sense of it. There are actually scientists in the United States studying things like warp drive and seeing that warp drive is possible. So what are we doing? We are reaching out to develop exotic propulsion systems, other forms of exotic technology, and we are moving beyond the land of the radio wave to what I like to call the higher level. We are developing ways that we can finally contact other dimensional realities. What does that mean to us? It means that we are no longer the primitive. We are moving beyond weapons. We are moving toward peace. We are understanding there is a technology that can change everyone. We also realize that we are capable now of producing a prosperity that changes the entire way in which our society operates. These are things that are happening around the globe. There are people in India, because of the same thing I was talking about, the internet, that understand all of this. There are people in China that understand not only their ancient history, but realize how that ancient history relates to who they really are. They are moving beyond the, what I like to call it, the xenophobia of our race. They are seeing that we are people of the stars, that we are more than what we have said we are. We're beyond this primitive ape that we're talking about. We realize that we are a galactic human. And how do we get there? And this is one of the things that I have used to spend a whole bunch of lectures, hours with, is how do we change, how do we transfer the process of our growing consciousness to a societal model that works? Now, I gave a couple of these societal models in my book, The Galactic Societies. Humans right now are beginning to look around and implement their own aspects of it. There are technologies that are a part of these new societal realities. And as a result of that, they are being integrated. There are physicists around our planet right now who are doing one thing. They're moving beyond the concept which René Descartes did in the 18th century, which is there is more to this world than the physical. There is a hyperphysical reality. And when we realize that, which of course more and more are realizing, they're moving beyond it. The thing that opened the door to all of this is the advanced versions of quantum mechanics. When I was a young man, 50 years ago, it seems like, wow, I've lived over half a century. What you begin to understand, okay, when I began, quantum mechanics was looked upon as an oddity. Max Planck's boys were one of those guys out in left field. Today, we have gone beyond the original concepts of Max Planck and many others and the initial aspects of quantum. Quantum is simply a Latin word for bunch. And they simply said, what we need to do is, how do we use this? How do we change? And it's gone, therefore, from being a small little part of physics to being a part that is a major study in astrophysics, is a major study in subatomic physics, and we're discovering materials based upon that, like graphene, that allows us to look at the whole world in a different way. And we are developing technologies that open the door to a whole new energy system. Now, graphene and other things like that are just the merest part. Okay, doubling or tripling how a battery operates is one thing. But you can also use what I like to call space energy, which some physicists, because they didn't understand it at the time, called dark energies. You can take these things and you can create energy devices. You can actually create anti-gravity propulsion systems, what the UFOs have, and you can make it part of our reality. We're at the edge of all of this. It includes stuff like teleportation, etc. We now see that the distance between realities in this galaxy is no longer as incredibly immense as they seemed even a few decades ago. So now our ancestors, our family are here to help us with the whole basic concept. How do we get from where we are now to where they have been for a long time, millions of years? We are finally ready to rejoin who we actually were and are. It's hidden within our genetics. They have to be resequenced and changed and altered. And that's what is happening to us right now. If you would look around the planet, you see little remnants of things here and there that indicate there were parts of our planet that actually had advanced technologies tens of thousands of years ago. We can even look at the Mojadero 8,000 years ago, having running water and toilet systems and sewage. And you say to yourself, wow, all this stuff that we think we're first rediscovering actually was way, way back there. And we're learning new energy systems from it. We're learning new technologies. We're beginning to stretch ourselves. We're seeing more and more how our brains operate. And that's more than the stuff that science and medicine said we have. We are much better and incredibly, incredibly, unbelievably advanced peoples. That means, okay, we still have governments that live, I like to call it 10 or 20,000 years ago in this time, with war. But people, as they become more conscious, begin to see more and more that the concept of war does not work. They even see our societies. I've seen in listening to programs late at night, people saying one thing: our society no longer works. These institutions no longer work. We need new models. That is right over the horizon. We need resources to develop those new models. Those are right over the horizon. So we're right at the edge of what I like to call an experiment, an explosion, actually, in human consciousness. And these new models are happening. And that's so vitally important to what we are about and what we're doing.
Sheldon, you've talked before about us going to the inner Earth. Is that still on the schedule? Is that going to happen?
Yes, it is. One of the greatest revelations that's going to be discovered shortly is that our planet, just like every other planet, is hollow. And that there is an advanced civilization living inside that is the remnant of Lemuria. And that's what I call Agartha, which is Lemurian for inner Earth. Ag meaning inner, and Artha, which is the original Lemurian name for Earth. So inner Earth, it exists. I've met them. They are incredible beings. They are part of the many different groups from around this galaxy that originally settled here. All of us have in our ancestry either Andromedans, Pleiadians, Syrians, etc. We are those people.
Sheldon, what's going on in Antarctica right now?
Okay. I knew sooner or later I would get someone to say that to me. All right. The answer is nothing important.
Nothing important. Are you sure?
Yes, I am.
Seriously.
Seriously.
Okay, there's a lot
don't
of
let
talk.
All the stuff, don't let all the stuff scare you or anything like that. It's just we do not fully understand who we really are. So things start popping up in certain places, and people start going to certain places. Rumors follow. We love to make rumors. I think that more societies in the history of our planet have been brought down by rumors than by war or revolution.
Wow.
It's just another rumor.
Hmm. So are we going to see a civil war in the U.S.?
No.
No.
We're at the edge of a whole new reality. It is first starting, the buds of it are first starting to pop out of the earth. And a whole new reality, a whole new environment is about to happen. Don't think of this world the way we have thought of it before. I like to call it, think differently. Understand that this world has within it a counter world, and that it is about to change everything. So just understand that there is going to be a massive shift in what's real. What we need is to not get into shock about it. That's why I feel it's important for me to explain to people that what you're about to see, and I've had more news in the last few months about this than anything, what we are experiencing is a revolution in resources and an end to government as we thought of it as. We are about to change. I've been talking about this for decades, but it's finally here. I call it the quiet revolution. It's a revolution based upon peace, technology, and acceptance of our consciousness, and understanding that we are humans, and therefore we need to live in a true human society, not one filtered with poverty, limited resources, and similar. We have tons of money, and it is about ready to pop. And it will probably take a few months to a year for it to filter all over the place. But it's about to happen. And I'm just going to say it because I have to stay ambiguous about this right now.
Okay.
It's important that we understand it's happening. The important thing is to understand the fact of what it is and how we can basically understand that we are changing. There are certain people on this planet that understood this change and accumulated various ways of creating wealth and have done so. The purpose of this wealth, 90% of it, is not to enrich themselves, although it will, of course, but to change the world. We are about to see people that are going to gradually and quickly change the world. And when they do so, it means that the governance that we now have, even in the United States and in the rest of the world, is going to change. And right now people will probably look at me and think I'm crazy or as phony as the $3 bill, but it's true. I understand that. It's difficult when you've lived your entire life in a certain way to suddenly hear from someone about these changes. Wait a long period of time and then hear them happen. I'm not talking about a long period of time. I'm talking like half a decade to a decade. It's all about to change. And as a result of that, we as humans need to grasp the fact that how we live our lives and how we eke them out is going to shift. It's one in which a very wondrous thing is about to happen. Way back in 1776, when the Declaration of Independence was first written, there is a funny little thing that Jefferson did to John Locke's original treatise on government. Locke said the basis of democracy is life, liberty, and property. Jefferson changed it, and of course, I feel that it was with Saint Germain's help. He changed it to something that a galactic person would be interested in: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What the hell does that mean? It means what we're happening to us. We are about to achieve a set of objectives that is going to allow each and one, every one of us, to gradually and eventually achieve ways that we pursue the happiness, the passion that is us, as each and every one of us, and have the freedom and sovereignty to be able, and the resources to be able to do that. That is what is about to happen to all of us. I feel wonderful and magnificent that I have been given a chance to watch this happen and to see the result of it happening. And I am in joy about the fact that it is about to happen. The world is not about to get blown up. The world is not to dissolve into craziness of civil war. It's going to do something else. It's going to come together, and this peaceful revolution that I've been talking about is about to evolve and happen. And it means that the resources that we have are going to change. And the way we look at money and gold and silver and all that is also about to change. This is what is now underway. Don't expect it to happen tomorrow. I mean, it's like Thursday or something like that. Expect it to be soon, but not decades from now. Very shortly. And that's what excites me.
So are people going to go beyond their governments or ignore their governments? It seems like the governments are more focused on war.
Okay. Let me explain something to you. Okay. In the 1980s, the communist empire of the Soviet Union seemed invincible, totally invincible. There was no way that this giant empire would extend it from eastern Germany all the way to the mighty 16 republics of the Soviet Union was going to fall apart. Guess what happened? A bunch of church people in eastern Germany came together, demanded freedom. And guess what happened 3 weeks after they started? The entire communist empire fell down.
Hmm.
What seemed like an impossibility happened. We need to dream in impossibilities and know that they are going to happen. Even the Soviet Union, that most invincible, that enemy of enemies, the reason for the Cold War, 2 years after that happened in Germany, it happened in Moscow. The communist empire was gone. And nearly at the same time, communist China went away. It was only because there was some little bunch of things that had to still happen that allowed it to not fall apart. We have to realize this all happened suddenly. If I had told this to anybody in 83 and 84 and 86, they would have told me I'm crazy. 3 years later, I'm a prophet. We have to understand that this is happening right now. It doesn't seem that way. It seems like we're trying to create a war in the Middle East, expand it to the world. It seems like Europe is in a mess.
Yep.
Things are about to shift.
Are we going to see, there's a lot of corruption in Washington, D.C. Are we going to see some of that corruption become exposed? And are we going to see some of these well-known politicians go to jail?
Yes. I'm even going to make a statement that will sound crazy, but it's true. The present U.S. government in the next few periods of time will be gone.
Gone.
It will be replaced with something else. How about that? People will
well,
think
that
I'm
almost,
nuts right now.
That sounds like a collapse in a way, some kind of Titanic event. Almost.
There are events that are about to happen that are immense and unbelievable. Now I'm going to talk about something kind of like a little less so gigantic.
Dramatic. Okay,
dramatic.
Go ahead.
Next Thursday, I'm going to have another webinar. I want to give some information out about it.
Sure.
And so the name of it is Stepping into Ascension. The first will be on Thursday, the 20th of April, like I said, next week, at 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. The second one is on Sunday. We're doing it in reverse because of Easter. And so Sunday on the 23rd will be the next one, which is the usual Sunday time of 12 p.m., once again, Pacific Daylight Time. And I'm going to talk about what is going on with ascension, new symptoms involving not only the head, but the lower body, etc. What is the roles and purposes of the Ascended Masters and the Galactic Federation, all of this. And let's just look at what's happening in the world, a general overview of what's happening on the planet. I just want to do that because I want people to know that we're having this. It's only $15. And to get to it, all you have to do is go to our website, which is www.paoweb.com. Go to where the updates are, and you'll see a whole ad about it. And through that, you can get in. I just did that because I want people to know about our webinar, and because I promised my wife, yes, I'll do that. Because I get talking, I forget things. This is important.
Sure it is. So people can go to www.paoweb.com and then sign up for your webinar there.
Right. They just go to the update section and look up the webinar. It'll be right in the front, called Stepping into Ascension. That's the name of it, and it will be starting this next Thursday.
Is this the beginning of a whole series of webinars about a specific kind of topic?
Well, we've been doing webinars, but my hope is that this is going to be the last one of this type.
Oh,
after
really?
After that, I can start talking about other things that are more dear to my heart right now, which has to do
really?
With the Quiet Revolution and the changes and the First Contact and stuff like that, because I want to get into that. And then I'll finally be able to do it, and I can then do those webinars because of the resources I will then have part of. I can then do them for free, which is what I want to do. But I can't
do
that until... So right now, I've still got to keep going, and I've got the $15 webinar, which I think is a very good price for all that I give, and will be another chance to talk about how this ascension process is working, what is consciousness shifting to, how is it changing our body from the one that is carbon to the crystalline version, and I want to explain how are we becoming fully conscious beings, etc. That's the stuff that I wanted to talk about. And that's, as I said, it's Thursday the 20th of this month and Sunday the 23rd of this month. The Thursday one starts at 6 p.m. Pacific, and the other one at Sunday is at 12 p.m. Pacific. What I do is I repeat myself. And, of course, it's different because no human on the planet can exactly reproduce one they have given 4 days before. So that's why I do two of them, so they're in different time zones so that everybody gets a chance to listen to it.
That's a good idea. I think repetition is a good way to learn, too.
Right, right.
So you also have a whole lot of books. The one I asked a few questions from tonight was your Galactic Neighbors. What other books do you have now, Sheldon?
I have Your First Contact, which is the main one. People who have read it have called it a compendium of everything you need to know about what's happening on our planet in terms of a spiritual guide to the reality of the shifting of humanity. The other one, I did a general guide on my organization, which is called The Guide to Galactic Humans. And those are the three major ones that I have done. And I'm working right now on the beginnings of a fourth one, which will be about consciousness. And that gets me into the levels that where I want to go to next. And because resources are about to be available not only to me, but to millions of other people, and it's going to expand outward, this world is changing. This government is changing. The how this world works is shifting. There are a whole bunch of incredible things now happening on our planet, and I am very happy to, even though I have to be very indefinite and ambiguous somewhat about it, when the actual things happen, you'll get the announcements. I just don't want people to suddenly hear them and get shocked by it all. It's real. I almost feel like some guy hiding from the communist in East Germany talking about the downfall of communism. And, of course, by 1990, the person is sitting in a integrated Germany, and the whole concept of the Stasi and Eastern Germany is history. And this is about to be repeated. I'm very happy about that.
So something very good is quite imminent.
Quite imminent, yes. I have to stay ambiguous about it because the nature of how the world works is you have to unfortunately stay ambiguous until it happens, and then you can be more open about it because it's already a reality. But just know there are a lot of amazing things that are happening, and that's all I can really say right now. And I am happy that it will allow this entire planet to shift, and it'll allow for first contact to happen, and I'm very proud of the little part that I've played in that.
Sheldon, we've pretty much burnt up our hour. Is there anything else that you wanted to tell our listeners? I mean, I could have questions all night, but I don't want to put you through all that.
Well, the important thing I would just say to everybody is there's an amazing set of events that in the next period of human history are about to change everything. Just know and understand that it's coming. Be aware of it. And also understand, most importantly, you are not alone. Your human ancestors, your human family, your spiritual family connected to that human family are ready to appear. It will come. And that also should not be looked upon as a shock. UFOs are real. They're benevolent. And they are part of our future, of our new consciousness that is creating right now within all of us.
Well, Sheldon, thanks so much for coming on again. Have a great evening, sir.
You too, Mark. Thanks for your program. Thanks for being allowed to talk to you on your program. And I hope I allowed a lot of people to understand that there is a new reality appearing. There's going to be amazing changes. And know that we're not crying wolf. It's actually happening. And with that, I just say, God bless everyone. And let's be a part of the future. And know that we are there ready for it to appear.
Thank you very much, Sheldon. Have a good evening.
Same to you, Mark. Good night.